The first chapter of the book of Ruth, and our text for this morning is that verse 6. As we've already indicated, the story of Naomi has to do with a decision that was taken by her husband, and it was a wrong decision. And it cost Elimelech, and it cost his wife dearly. But here we see that there is a change taking place. And we read in verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread," that is, in Bethlehem, Judah. That was her home. And really, she was returning home. Just to refresh your mind, we'll not go into it in any great detail, but we have already considered Naomi and her sojourn. She left Bethlehem, Judah, following her husband, and went down to Moab. The reason they went to Moab was because of a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. We noted when the famine occurred. It's time during the time of the judges. We noted also why the famine occurred. Because basically every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord afflicted them and chastised them by way of a famine. We noted also where the famine occurred, namely Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, as you know, means the house of bread. And unfortunately, Elimelech was not willing to trust the Lord there in Bethlehem to supply his needs or the needs of his family. So he took matters into his own hands. Heard that there was plenty of bread in Moab. Took his family and went down into the land of Moab. We then noted not only the famine, but also the fleeing. He fled Bethlehem, Judah, and he did so with great haste. Not praying about the matter. Not really giving the matter any thought. There's no indication, there's no reference here to Elimelech praying. Asking the Lord for guidance. Simply took the matter into his own hands and went to Moab. It's interesting that Elimelech means, "God is my king. God is my king." And yet we find Elimelech did not follow in the ways of God, his king. As we say, he took matters into his own hands. We then noticed that that his heart evidently was not right with the Lord. If he took matters into his own hands, he didn't bother seeking the face of God. I believe that Elimelech didn't seek the face of God because Elimelech knew what the answer would be. It could not possibly be the Lord's will for Elimelech and his family to go into the land of Moab, amongst the heathen, where they ought not to have been. And you know, sometimes we don't pray about a matter because we know what the answer is. We know that the Lord will forbid us, or we know what the Lord's will is on the matter. We would know that the Lord wouldn't want us to go to a certain place, but we go anyway. We don't pray about it because we know what the Lord would say. That's what happened to Elimelech. It shows us that his heart was not right with the Lord. Now, it wouldn't have been so bad if Elimelech had gone on his own. But Elimelech's decision affected the whole family. And you know, whenever you and I make a wrong decision, it doesn't just affect us. It affects all those who are around us. And as Elimelech was the head of the house, it affected his wife and his whole household. And so, brethren, today, as heads of the household, we have a great responsibility to make sure whatever decision we make, it's the right decision. And it's the decision God would want us to make. If not, we'll pay for it. We'll pay for making a wrong decision. We noted also Naomi and her following. She followed her husband. There is no mention of Naomi arguing with her husband. If you like, she played the part of a good wife. She acknowledged her husband as the head of the house, and she simply followed him. And so you can see that Elimelech and his decision not only affected himself, but his wife and the whole household. That leads us now to consider Naomi and her sorrows. We've noted Naomi and her sojourn. Now we have Naomi and her sorrows. Elimelech made a poor decision when he departed from Bethlehem, Judah, and led his family to that country of Moab. Let us first of all consider, in relation to Naomi and her sorrows, let us first of all consider the disobedience. For Naomi's husband, it was more than a poor decision. It was a sign of his disobedience. This is why we say his heart was not right with God. Because over in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 23, here we read in Joshua 23 that the Lord had given to his people the land. And the Lord laid down certain stipulations and commandments what his people were to do and what they were not to do. Joshua 23 and verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among, these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. And so you see, the children of Israel, the Lord had told them they were to maintain the position of separation. They were to separate themselves unto the Lord, and they were to separate themselves from the heathen of the land. And yet what do we find that Elimelech did? He left his own people in Bethlehem, Judah, and he went to the very place that the Lord had told him not to go. Amongst the ungodly and amongst the heathen. As this is a sad reflection on the spiritual state of Elimelech, that he believed that there was more help for him to be found in the land of Moab amongst the heathen than in looking to his God and depending on the Lord to supply his need. How sad that is. And what a sad reflection upon this man's spiritual state. And that bad decision, that wrong decision of ignoring the Lord and ignoring God's law and God's word brought deep sorrow into the heart of his dear wife, Naomi. Let us be warned. Let us take heed to what we read here in the opening chapter of the book of Ruth. To make sure whatever decision we take, it's the right one. And let us make sure we seek the face of God. Because in all our ways, He will direct our paths. Let us not lean upon our own understanding. Our own understanding can lead us astray. But here was Elimelech, and he was not prepared to maintain that position of separation. And you know, believe, there are many today and are not willing to maintain or take the position of separation because they believe it would cost them too much. Whenever this denomination came into being, on the 17th of March, 1951, it came into being as the result of apostasy in the Irish Presbyterian Church. Because there were a number of men in a church in a town called Crossgar, they wanted to have a gospel campaign. And they invited Dr. Paisley along to conduct that campaign. The church that those men belonged to objected. The presbytery of that area objected. And so after the gospel campaign went ahead, and as a result of the campaign, a church was formed there in Crossgar. And many of those men who belonged to that Irish Presbyterian church separated. They came out from apostasy, the apostasy of the Irish Presbyterian Church, and formed the first Free Presbyterian Church. Now in those days, feelings were running very high in that area. And so men who had businesses lost business. People would not go and trade with these men who had left the Irish Presbyterian Church and formed the first Free Presbyterian Church. They lost business. The first day of the service in that first church, they had a march of witness through the town. They held placards and gave out gospel tracts. The townspeople came out and jeered them and spat upon them. And it is said that when some of the men reached the doors of the meeting house, from their collars to the tails of their coats was covered in spittles. That was the price of separation from apostasy. And there are those who are not prepared to pay that price. They're not prepared to stand outside the camp for God. I should add that while families were divided over the issue and men lost business in the initial stages, do you know something? God blessed those businessmen and doubled their business afterwards. You'll never go wrong when you put the Lord first. And if only Elimelech had put the Lord first, he wouldn't have lost all that he did. He would have gained. You recall that when we looked at Bethlehem, Judah, As we pointed out, Bethlehem means the house of bread. Do you know what Moab means? Moab means waste and death. And so here you have Elimelech and his family. They went from the house of bread to a place that was known for it being a wasteland. A place of emptiness. And there Elimelech thought he was going to gain by going to Moab. In fact, instead of gaining, he lost. And dear Christian, when we step outside God's will, take matters into our own hands, I can assure you, you will not gain anything. But you will lose perhaps more than you ever imagined. Remember, Elimelech lost his life in Moab. Naomi lost her two sons in Moab. And you recall what she said when she returned to Bethlehem. She says, I went out full, and I came home empty. She went out full and came home empty. That's the way it is when we step outside the will of God. And then you'll notice not only the disobedience, but the deaths. Elimelech was afraid of what he might lose by remaining in Bethlehem, Judah, because of the famine. But when he took matters into his own hands, we're told, in verses 3 to 5, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. There's another result of the mistake and the wrong decision. And they took, her two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. Again, it was against the law of God. There you have the unequal yoke. It was all because of what Elimelech had done. One decision. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died. That was her two sons. Also, both of them. And the woman was left. Of her two sons and her husband. That makes sad reading, doesn't it? All because one man made one wrong decision without consulting the Lord. There was Naomi, she had followed her husband to the country of Moab, and now she was following him to his grave. Then she was compelled to bid farewell to Mahlon and Chilion. She had gone with her husband to the country of Moab, hoping for a better life. And instead, she experienced a bitter life. For 10 years. 10 years. Not 10 years of happiness, but 10 years of heartache. All because of one wrong decision. Notice the desolation. Look at the wording upon the death of Naomi's husband and her two sons. Verse 3 says, whenever her husband died, and she was left. Them and her two sons died, verse 5, and the woman was left. If ever words summed up a woman's desolation, it's those words. Elimelech's wrong decision left his wife with two sons and companions as companions, and then she was left alone. She had no sons and no husband. And here the meaning of Moab really comes into focus. It must have pierced her heart like a dagger. Moab means waste and nothingness. And if ever a woman experienced an empty life, it was Naomi. And she said again there in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty. I went out full, and I came home empty. You see, sin will always rob us of every precious thing that we have. The devil is a hard taskmaster. You recall how the prodigal son went out full. He asked his father for all that he had. And the father gave everything that belonged to him. And he went out, and he went out into the far country, got away as far as he could from home and from his father. Says he went into the far country. Didn't just go down the road. To get away from the home life and the authority of his father. And after he had spent all of his that he had in riotous living, he was left filling his stomach with the husks that were fed to the swine. And when he came to himself, he thought of his father's house and his servants that had more than enough and to spare. And he says, this will I do. I will rise and I will go to my father's house. He returned home. And he returned home empty. It's the same down through the years and the centuries. Sin will rob us of everything that we have. You recall the disciples in John 21, the seven disciples led by Peter. They've all denied the Lord. They've all forsaken the Lord. They've all abandoned the Lord. So what are they going to do now? Peter said to the other six, he said, I go a fishing. They say, we also go with thee. And they went back to their old haunts and to their old business and their old ways, and they went fishing. And you know the story. They labored all night and caught nothing. Nothing. Empty nets. Empty hearts. And when that morning came and the stranger was walking along the shore, namely the Lord Jesus, you recall what he said. He said, children, have you any meat? They only answered one word. No. Think of it. The Lord came upon them that morning and they had nothing to set before him. Empty hands. Empty nets. Empty hearts. Empty lives. For Peter and the other six disciples, for them it was their land of Moab. They were in Moab. They'd abandoned Bethlehem, the house of bread. They'd forsaken the king. They'd denied their Lord. They were backslidden. They'd gone back to their old ways. And where did it lead them to? nothing. They used all the skill they had as fishermen. But all the skill they had didn't make any difference. They were left with nothing. And I've seen it over and over and over again. Men and women who used to walk with God, and walk with the Lord, and were doing something for God, they got sidetracked. They saw something that attracted them in the land of Moab, and they left Bethlehem, and they went to Moab, and where are they today? They're doing nothing for God. And their lives are empty. And they're more miserable now than they were before they got saved. Because that's the way it is. And so for Naomi, she was left with nothing. Nothing. You notice also the duration. We're told just how long Naomi remained in Moab. We're told there in verse 4. They were there, they dwelled there about 10 years. The stay in Moab was not a short stay. It wasn't a stay of 2 or 3 days or months. 10 years. That's a long time to be out of the will of God, isn't it? That's a long time to be living in disobedience to the Lord. 10 years is a long time to be out of step with God. 10 years is a long time to be away from home. And you know something? 10 years. And yet there is no record whatsoever of any communication between Naomi, Elimelech, or anyone there with the Lord. The heavens were silent. And it looks as though the lips of Naomi and the others were silent too. There's no talk of fellowship. There's no talk of communication with heaven. That has all ceased as well. 10 years. It's a long time and not having heard from the Lord and not having been in fellowship with the Lord. You recall whenever Israel went out against the Philistines without consulting the Lord, they thought, well, we'll bring the Ark of the Covenant with us. And if we have the Ark of the Covenant with us, we're bound to win the battle. If you like, they took the Ark of the Covenant with them like someone would use a good luck charm, as they call it. Well, we have the Ark with us, we're bound to win. Well, they didn't win. Thousands were slaughtered at the hands of the Philistines. And they were without the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And for that period of time that Israel was without the Ark of the Covenant, it is recorded the time was long. The time was long. Because you see, the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence. And I'll tell you, believer, whenever you're without God's presence, the time is long. When you're without a sense of His presence with you, the time is long. When you're away from home and away from your family, you can be away just 2 weeks, but the time can be long. And here for 10 years, Naomi was there in Moab. Wonders is anybody here? And you've been away from the Lord for years. You've been living in the land of Moab. That place of emptiness. That wasteland called the world. And you haven't found anything there to satisfy you. How long have you been away from God? 5 years? 10 years? However long it has been, it's a long time to be away from the Lord. Well, you know something? There's a way back to God. Bethlehem, Judah, is still there. You can leave your Moab. And Bethlehem, Judah, is still there. The Father's house is still there. And that leads us to the final point. You have Naomi and her separation. We have considered Naomi and her sojourn and Naomi and her sorrow. We look at Naomi and her separation. She now separates from the heathen. She now separates from the ungodly. She now separates from that place where she should never have been. As an obedient and dedicated wife, she had followed her husband Elimelech from Bethlehem, the house of bread, to Moab, the place of waste and nothingness. Now bereft of her husband and her sons, what was she going to do? Our text tells us, then she arose. Just like the prodigal. So many parallels here. We're told he arose. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. There you have, first of all, her resolve. Her resolve. She resolved to return from the country of Moab. You notice the way it's written there. Doesn't say, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to Bethlehem, Judah. She didn't say that. It says that she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. And that indicates to us that she couldn't wait to get out of Moab. She was returning from Moab. She was getting out of Moab. She was getting away from that place that was called waste and emptiness. Moab had brought her nothing but sorrow, sadness, suffering, and separations. She had suffered the consequences of one wrong decision. She had no pleasant memories of Moab, only painful memories. There are many Christians, unfortunately, who leave their Bethlehem and they go down into Moab. They think it may be better there. Circumstances may be better there. But instead of their stay in Moab being pleasant to them and to their soul, it's painful. And there's many a backsliding Christian can look back on the day that they took that decision to go down into Moab and all that they suffered there. And wish they'd never gone to Moab. Wish they'd never left their communion and fellowship with the Lord and the Bethlehem Judah. For whenever anyone goes into Moab, it brings them sorrow and grief. We mentioned the prodigal son. You think of Lot. Think of the decision Lot made. Once again, never consulted the Lord. His herdsmen fell out with Abraham's herdsmen. And Abraham said, "The better we separate it." And he lifted up his eyes and looked toward Jordan, so it was well watered. He should have lifted his eyes a little higher. He should have lifted his eyes heavenward and said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" But no, he didn't. And believer, you know as well as I do what it costs, Lot. You think of Abraham. When there was a famine in the land, he went down into Egypt. And he had to lie when he was in Egypt. And forced his wife to lie. And almost lost his wife. Because of one bad decision. And going down into Egypt, you think of David. That decision that night, when kings go forth to war, David should have went forth to war, but he stayed at home and fell into sin with Bathsheba. Sin always costs. That was her resolve. Sadly, many people resolve to return to the Lord. Yes, I'll get right with God one day. Yes, I'll return to the Lord one day. That's all it is. Just an empty resolution. They never return. You have Naomi's resolve, and then you have her return. For we're told here, Naomi left that place of emptiness, and she returned. Made her way back to her father's house. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. You notice she didn't just go halfway. And as we pointed out the other week, the distance between Bethlehem, Judah, and Moab was nothing more than 30 miles. She could easily have said, "Well, I'll just go outside Moab. We'll pitch our tents just outside Moab, just in case things aren't so good in Bethlehem. We'll just go a little way out." No, no, no. No. If Naomi was going to separate from Moab, she was going all the way. And that's what it's all about. There are no half measures in the Lord's work. There are no half measures in the Christian life. We cannot live on the edge of the world. It's out. Get out. Stay out. That's what Naomi did. She went forth. And we praise the Lord, and I'm sure she did too, that indeed that way from Moab to Bethlehem was still open for her. Bethlehem was still there after 10 years. 10 wasted years. You see, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And it's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. For Naomi, there was a way back. Whenever God called Jeremiah to go out and be a prophet to the people of Israel, he was going out to preach to a backslidden people, a backslidden nation. And what was his message? Here was the message the Lord gave Jeremiah to preach to the people of Israel. Listen. Go. And proclaim these words. toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord says, All I'm asking from you is that you return unto me. And in returning, that you acknowledge your sin. And really, that's what Naomi was doing here. She was simply returning. And again, if there's anyone here today and you're out of step with God and you're away from the Lord, and like Peter, you've been following the Lord afar off for years, there's a way home. The Father's house is still there. You can turn your back on Moab today and make your way home. And as it was with the prodigal, he was able to fall into the outstretched arms of his father, fell on his neck and kissed him. You return to the Lord today, you'll return to his outstretched arms. And he'll say, Welcome home. Welcome home. Finally, the reason. What was the reason for Naomi going back? Well, we're told there in verse 6, Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She realized she would be better off at home. She would be better off in Bethlehem, Judah. And it was the fact that the Lord had visited his people that she decided to return home. It was the Lord drew her home. Isn't that what draws us home? When we find ourselves going astray, isn't it the Lord that draws us back again? Isn't it the Lord that brings us home again? Dear Christian, today, again, if you've strayed away from the Lord, you know something? The Lord's waiting for your return. He's waiting for your return. Why not make your way home today as Naomi did? Leave your land of Moab. There's nothing in it. It's a wasteland. There's nothing in the world to satisfy your soul. Now none but Christ can satisfy. In another name for me, there's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Time you were home. May God give you the grace to return home to your Father's house today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we bless thee for the many lessons that we find in thy precious word, and these things are written for your learning, thou hast said. Lord, have us to learn from Naomi, to learn from the mistakes that her husband made. Lord, have us to learn from Naomi, and how she rose up from that wasteland that was called Moab, and return to Bethlehem, Judah. O Lord, I pray that for any today and they've long missed out with God, maybe more than 10 years, Lord, bring them home to the Father's house today. And they'll receive a welcome. We ask Thee, Lord, to bless us now as we part the one from the other. Grant each one travelling mercy to their place of abode. And Lord, in Thy will be pleased to return us to Thy house this evening to spend time again with Thee and around Thy precious word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.